Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to the Dave and Danger Show, a production brought to you by GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com. This is a show about independent and old school pro wrestling, featuring current events, interviews, and whatever else they decide to talk about. And now, the GWH Radio Network presents the Dave and Danger Show with your hosts, Dave Wills and Mark Danger.
All right, Dave Wills here. It's going to be a great Dave and Danger Show. No, you're not living in, what do they call that movie, Groundhog Day? You're actually listening to Dave and Danger Show, second one of the week. Let me bring in my co-host right now, ladies and gentlemen. He is the one, the only, the absolutely amazing living icon, Mark Danger.
Yeah, that's me. I'm the Mark to the D. Yes, that's me. How's it going, peeps?
Word, Marky Mark. Anyways, what's on tap? What's going on in the world of professional wrestling?
Well, watched Raw last night. It was a fairly decent send-off. Probably could have been done a little bit better. Michael Cole, once again, is an idiot when he called the Christian and Edge as the greatest tag team in entertainment. So it kind of like kills it. It's wrestling. It's not entertainment. So in my opinion, WWE can take the entertainment BS and just smoke it.
Well, he's probably doing that on purpose because he gets some more heat there. Because that's probably what they kind of do and everything. What's your thoughts about that icon? Maybe he's just messing with folks a little bit, trying to say, hey, I'm trying to mess people, get some more heat for our match. After all, he does come around to where he is really, he comes around as a great heel, I think.
Yeah, to me, I think we discussed last night, he'll be a great managerial role. He'll be great at it because he can get heat. And frankly, he can talk a little bit, whereas some other people there probably can't. I also want to send out congrats to the Road Warriors for going into the Hall of Fame with Paul Ellering, much deserved, and one of the most powerful tag teams out there today.
It's going to be a great Hall of Fame. Still haven't decided whether I'm going or not, but we will see how that works and how that works out. Should be a decent show, Hall of Fame show. I'm looking forward to it. It'll be on next week. That's going to be pretty cool to see. Should be a really great show. Like I said, we got a whole lot going on and everything. We're going to have Brie Lee in here tonight. Should be a decent show and everything. And really looking forward to it, for sure. What else is going on? Icon, what's the biggest show coming up? You talked about it last night. I want to let you talk about it more. The Friends for a Friend show.
Yeah, we have the Friends for a Friend show. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be off the hook. You're going to have, like I said, TV stars, movie stars, music stars, wrestling stars. It's just going to be a great night. Your main event, Steve Corino, the King of Old School, with the girl that's stuck in the 80s, Roxy Cotton, taking on Glacier. You got Joyce Grable managing Peggy Lee Leather, and Nigel Scherer taking on first time ever of Bambi and Terry Lawler, which is going to be an outstanding match. You got student versus teacher is Mike Sanders taking on teacher Sergeant Buddy Lee Parker, and you just have many, many more matches. Also to be there, you got Rick Michaels and Simon Sermon as the exotic ones, Joel Deaton, Bobby Hayes, Southside Trash. I don't know if he's going to be Playboy or Comrade. Phil Hefner is going to be there. And it's just going to help a great friend, Susan Meeks, who means a lot to me and Dave. I think ever since we've been going to wrestling shows, she's been there. So looking forward to help her out.
Absolutely. I tell you right now, going to be one great program. Cannot wait to see it. I tell you, it's going to be a fantastic show. Remember, you really ought to take a look at it, really ought to enjoy it. If you can, that's at a Community Fellowship Ministries in Douglasville, Georgia. coming up on April the 9th. Danger, what else is going on in the wonderful world of wrestling? How are you feeling about the WrestleMania? Are you really looking forward to it? What's the real main event on WrestleMania?
I don't know. One thing I've noticed this year, I don't think too many people have noticed, is that this year there's no Money in the Bank match. So I think that's a lot of people look for that because you got a lot of crazy stuff that happens usually from that. Just really, there's no matches to me. It's really standing out. Maybe except for the Triple H and Undertaker match.
Michael Cole and Jerry Lawler. Is that a great match?
Well, it's a great match for what it is. A probably 5-minute match. I don't think it's going to go no more than 10. So
that's been one of the most hype matches they've had on the show. I would be really surprised if that's all it does. Come on now. I mean, I just don't know.
Well, all it could be is Stone Cold coming in, stunning Michael Cole, and...
No, that's not all it could be. After all, they always... WrestleMania is always booked fairly well. It's a 4-hour show. It's not going to just be 10 minutes. I can't believe that. And as far as Undertaker and Triple H, you've always been a little bit fan-friendly towards Triple H. I don't know why you have been. But Triple H has always been somebody who you really, really like. Maybe he'll give you a job after the match, but either way, it's going to be interesting to see what happens to what happens. It's going to be really interesting to see. What else is going on in the world of professional wrestling? Got a lot of stuff going on locally and everything. May try to run some stuff down. Let's see here.
Oh, man, one thing I want to laugh at. I can't use the R word because that's politically incorrect. The stupid move of the day, Dave, guess who gets the stupid move of the day?
I have no idea who gets the stupid move of the day.
So one, Dixie Carter for getting her own Twitter suspended.
I don't know what R word you're using, but apparently Dixie's a moron.
I associate R to Make a Wish Foundation.
No.
I didn't say the word.
Georgia Wrestling History doesn't associate any letters to the Make a Wish Foundation. Make a Wish Foundation deals with sick children who want one last wish to be granted, not people who do stupid, foolish, moronic things.
Why would you
like Dixie Carter?
Yeah, why would you waste a wish on that?
No one's going to waste a wish. It's just Dixie Carter's an idiot.
Yeah.
She shouldn't be running the pro. She shouldn't be running TNA. And again, like I've said before, Terry Taylor, Dixie Carter, Vince Russo, you got any sack? Come on the show. I don't care. I don't watch your TNA. I don't tune into it. If you can explain it, come on here. Tell me you're making money. Tell me what all this stuff is. Tell me there's a point to this. Tell me that's the best that can be done.
Dave,
tell me firing Dutch Mantel and Jim Cornette makes sense.
Dave,
what?
I don't think they have sacks.
Tell me what... Don't get into that. I want somebody to tell me that that made perfect sense to terminate people like Jim Cornette and like Dutch Mantel who were doing good in there and hire, you know, and do what we got now, okay? Al Snow and D-Lo, I'm sure they're great folks. But, I mean, come on. TNA could be competition. TNA is a competition to no one right now. And I hold Dixie Carter, Vince Russo, Terry Taylor responsible. I don't even hold Jeff Jarrett as much responsible because they can do a decent house show. If you did the house shows on the TV, you may get a chance. What you are is sports entertainment done sorry. And you deserve what you get. And when Spike pulls the plug on you, sooner or later, it's going to be painful. When Kurt Angle says, forget TNA, I'm going to WWE like Diesel did, you deserve it. When anybody does that, you know, I'm sorry, Mr. Kennedy. Mr. Kennedy should have been fired a long time ago because he couldn't get his story straight and what happened. Unfortunately, and AJ Styles, who could have meant something, hey, he went out there and buried him every 5 seconds after that. What a joke. TNA's a bunch of crap. That's just my opinion. Anyways, what else do we got here going on? Jericho Dancing with the Stars, doing well. What else?
I learned something else, Dave.
What did you learn?
And it's nothing. I'm not being like joking, or you may think it is, but I've actually learned there's a new wrestling promotion out there.
What promotion is that?
It's the Premier Gay Federation.
And how did you learn this?
Learned it on TMC, and I also learned it on the fine site of GeorgianWrestlingHistory.com.
Really?
Apparently, they don't like the words what Michael Cole used to describe, well...
He used the word that rhymes with swag. Well, we know that.
Not like...
Michael Cole Reeves.
Swaggered in a...
You don't need any more explanation. Michael Cole used an improper term. And I can't remember if he has to apologize for it or what.
And people weren't glad that he said that either.
It's wrong to say stuff like that. It's wrong to say anything negative about anyone's sexual orientation. It's wrong to say anything like that. Unless I'm talking about you and I want to say teabagger and hurt yourself.
There's nothing
wrong with that at all.
The only person who probably get away with saying words like that is because, I mean, he's the greatest. It's the Iron Sheik.
No, Iron Sheik can get away with saying it.
Yeah, Iron Sheik can get away with saying it because it's just hilarious. Because once he goes...
No, it's not hilarious. It's not a good idea to do it.
Iron Sheik promos is like Family Guy. He doesn't care. He's just going to offend everybody.
Well, Iron Sheik probably will offend anybody, but that's okay. Everything. Well, thank you for tuning in. It's 8:12. We're going to try to get our guest online. We're going to play you 3 minutes of commercials and everything. I do apologize. Be sure to come back. But I got to play them, and we're going to play them real good, and we'll be right back with more David Davis Show after this.
Let me drive.
How do you know when it's time to give up the keys? When your dog grabs your keys from your lap and your lap is on the floor. Yep, it's Jeff Foxworthy for RAD saying, when you party, be sure to designate before you celebrate.
If you want to make it home alive, let me drive.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Just please don't drink and drive. It's not fun.
Ranger Station, Ranger speaking.
Yeah, hi. I'd like to report a bear sighting.
Location?
In the forest, near the side of the road.
No need for alarm, sir. The forest is where bears live.
But this was no ordinary bear.
No ordinary bear?
Yeah, 1 second I'm having a smoke taken in the view. Next thing I know, I am face to face with Smokey Bear.
Let me guess, Smokey had a tip for you.
He did. He must have seen me toss my cigarette on the ground. He told me never to do that because it only takes one spark to start a wildfire.
He's a smart bear. Did you know that 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans? That means 9 out of 10 wildfires can be prevented.
That's what Smokey said. I had no idea.
That's why Smokey's famous, and you're not.
Good point.
Get your Smokey on. If you see someone in danger of starting a wildfire, step in and make a difference, because 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans. Brought to you by Smokey Bear, the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
You're listening to the GWH Radio Network, brought to you by GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com. Your show will return momentarily. Did you know that there's more to GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com than just Georgia Wrestling History? It's true. Not only can you find documented cards, results, and more on pro wrestling in Georgia dating back to the 19th century, but you can also find out where live and local wrestling may be near you today. And not just in Georgia. We also cover the southeastern regional scene in Alabama, Florida, Tennessee, and the Carolinas. You want more? Well, we also cover the major worldwide wrestling and MMA promotions as well, including WWE, UFC, TNA, Strikeforce, Ring of Honor, and more. And so do our radio shows. You can find all of this, and maybe a bit more, by logging on to GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com, where we are capturing the legends of yesterday and covering the stars of today. GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com.
The odds of becoming a signed artist and having 3 number 1 albums? 1 in 100 million. The odds of going on to win 6 Grammy Awards? 1 in 1.4 million. The odds of this performer having a child diagnosed with autism? 1 in 110. I'm Toni Braxton, and I encourage you to learn the signs of autism at AutismSpeaks.org. Autism Speaks. It's time to listen. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
All right, here. I'm hitting the wrong button again or something. Hey, we got a great guest tonight. Brody Lee is coming on the show, Chikara Star, stuff like that. Dragon Gate, going to be great. Let's welcome in right now. Here we go, ladies and gentlemen, our guest for that, Brody Lee.
How's it going?
Doing great. Thank you so much, Brody. I really do appreciate you appearing on the show tonight. Really, really appreciate
you.
Thank you for
having me.
Hey, our pleasure. We appreciate you coming down for Dragon Gate coming up this week. Dragon Gate USA, that is.
First time wrestling in Georgia, so I'm looking forward to it.
Well, come on down. It's great. I just wonder, how did you start in wrestling?
Back when I was about 20 years old, my cousin was into it. He has since left the business, but he knew where a local ring was set up, and away I went.
Cool. What area are you from? Where did you get started, and who did you grow up? Who did you grow up watching? Just wondered.
I'm from Rochester, New York, and this is where I learned, and this is where I've kind of perfected my craft. And I was always a huge fan growing up of, you know, the old WWF stuff, like Jake Roberts and Rick Rude. When me and my brother would always fight, I would be Jake Roberts and he would be Rick Rude. So it was always a built-in feud there. And I kind of took a very big liking to the Big Show in WCW and, like, the 1998 WCW stuff, and just kind of went from there.
Cool.
Martin,
you got a question. Dave, Dave, what you got for Brody Lee? Yeah, because you're around, what, 6'8"?
Yes,
6'8", 285. With your size and everything, what was it like for you stepping in the ring to train in the people that you were training with? Were they, like, scared of your size because maybe you were bigger than they were, or...?
It took me a long time to get very comfortable with it and to feel, you know, comfortable with my own skin, I guess, in the ring. And even, like, as of 3 or 4 years ago, I still thought I was a cruiserweight. And finally I kind of smartened up and realized that I'm bigger than everybody on the independent scene and that I could use that to my advantage. And really that was the turning point in my career. So I don't know if they were scared of me. We were probably scared of each other because I was always scared of the small guys jumping on me, and they were probably scared of me hitting them. So
yeah,
I think it went both ways.
I don't know about the cruiserweight. I haven't really seen much of you wrestling, but I've looked up some of the YouTube videos, and you move like a cruiserweight for your size.
Yeah, I mean, growing up, I played lacrosse and hockey, so I have an athletic background. So I guess, you know, growing into my size really helped with wrestling.
Right. Yeah, because I know it was like with like the Dragon Gate USA where you're in, a bunch of the guys are smaller, they're faster and athletic. How does that
mm-hmm.
make it easier for you to compete with them or a little bit harder?
It makes it easier to win, but sometimes, you know, it's a little difficult to keep up with the guys because even on that roster, there's a lot of talent and a lot of speed and a lot of, you know, finesse and just very creative moves and whatnot. So I try, you know, just do my own thing, try to be the bigger guy and throw people around as much as I can. And so I think I fit pretty well. I never really thought I would, but I think now I fit in complete.
With you having so much size and all, I got to ask, any feelers at the WWE or from WWE about possibly being be like guys who are big in size and all? They got this Brodus Clay on Raw last night and stuff.
There might be an edict coming down. I'm 31 years old, so I don't know if that's the issue or not, but I really haven't heard much from them. I've been to 6 shows as an extra, and that's about it.
Well,
I mean, that is the ultimate goal.
Well, with 31 years old, you got a point there. Mr. Hughes is over 40, and you know, a lot of guys over 40, they don't even talk to you. You got a point there. Yet,
I can't say that I agree with it, but because I still think I have a lot to offer. But you know, you never say never.
No, I would agree, and to be honest, I think it's short-sighted, and I think WWE could actually do a lot of good if they hired some hands who had been there, who may be in their 30s or 40s, some guys who still have some ability and still can go, and see how they do. They might get somebody over as a star, at least freshen up some of the lineups and everything for an intercontinental matchup.
Being on the independent scene for 8 years really gives me a good perspective in the ring, and going to a Florida or a WWE really helps. I think I could help out.
I would definitely, that'd be interesting. Where did this Mad Trucker gimmick or the Mad Trucker come from?
I actually have to credit Mitch Ryder from back in Chikara and all over the world, actually, but he helped me a lot developing it, and once I did it, it was just a very natural fit, and it really helped out my career, to be perfectly honest.
Good deal. Danger, what you got?
Yeah, speaking of Chikara, a lot of people that we've known go up there. It's more like a family-oriented style. And you also have, like, different casting characters there, and particularly Cheech and Cloudy. Your thoughts on them?
I actually traveled a lot with Cheech and Cloudy, and I think they're great. I don't know how much Cloudy is wrestling at the current state, but I know Cheech is in singles now, and I actually just wrestled him last Friday for a promotion up here. And we had a great match. I think he's a great talent, and really, I think people are sleeping on him and that he deserves a lot more looks in the business today. So I hope that comes with the next couple, in the next year. But I think there's a ton of talent in the Chikara locker room, and I really love being there.
Yeah, it goes. And just remind fans that you are going to be here with Dragon Gate USA on April 2nd and 3rd.
Yep, I'll be in Atlanta on April the 2nd and 3rd for Dragon Gate USA. I believe that the April 2nd show is an iPay-per-view that you can order through dguSA.tv. And the April 3rd show, I believe, is a noon start time. So, if you're down there for WrestleMania and looking for something to do at noon, come on down.
Yeah, because on April the 2nd, you're going to be in an elimination match with Jimmy Jacobs, Silas Young, A.R. Fox, and John Davis. On Sunday, you'll be taking on Chuck Taylor. Any thoughts
on
that?
I'll tell you what, I'm really looking forward to the Sunday match. Us as a group, the Blood Warriors group, has a lot to say about the group that Chuck Taylor's in, Ronin. They actually just got back from a successful tour of Japan. So I'm really looking forward to, taking the fight to Chuck Taylor and having a really great match with him. I've never worked him singles, and I'm really looking forward to it. The elimination match will be interesting the night before. I'll say that much.
Real quick, I was going to ask you one thing, Brody. Here's my thing. A lot of folks, per se, our show appeals to a lot of folks who, I guess, would tune to some of the old school wrestling and stuff like that. What would you say to certain people who may not have tuned into Dragon Gate or something like that? How would you come across and recommend to some fan who may not even have heard of it, being that a lot of people are going to be new in town, and you are new in the state of Georgia for sure?
The thing with Dragon Gate USA is that on the card, from top to bottom, you're going to get something different. You're going to get great speed and those kind of matches. You're going to get technical matches. You're going to get fights with me and Jon Moxley, kind of like that. So literally from the top of the card to the bottom of the card, you're going to get something different. You're going to get six-man, you're going to get tags, you're going to get singles, all kinds of different matches, and they're all entertaining. So I really hope the fans give it a chance and, come out and like I said, give it a look from top to bottom, because everything will be different and everything will be entertaining. And there's just so much talent there that I feel that if you give it a chance, you'll be hooked right there. So I think that the difference is that we just offer something top to bottom. Each match will be different.
Very good. Do you know if they have plans to come back to Georgia after the Mania weekend shows, or do you have any knowledge of that?
I hope they do, because where I live, it's cold 9 months of the year, so I'm really looking forward to going down to Atlanta, because it's literally 22 degrees right here.
Ooh, that is quite cold.
I'll be happy.
Indeed, that nature.
It's sitting around like 55 degrees right now here in Atlanta, so it's a little warmer than the 22.
I'm looking forward to it.
With talking about Japan, have you been over there and wrestled for any promotions?
Yep, I went over for Dragon Gate in December, January, and February, and three different tours. And really, I can't say enough about Japan as a country and the society. It's just so different and so respectful. And just the resolve that they're showing now with the tragedy that's happened is a testament to their society. And I really hope I get to go back there, because I loved my time there.
Sure thing. What exactly, a lot of people really like going to Japan and wrestling, you know. What is it about the fans, or the fan base, I should say, that's shown over there that's different, per se, from some of what you see in the U.S.? I know there's a difference in southern audiences and northern audiences. What's the difference in Japan and the Dragon audience over there?
I think people in America are spoiled a little bit and have pretty much have turned on some of the wrestling, whereas in Japan, the crowds are very respectful and really get into everything that people are doing, and just a different society and a different way. I think they just look at it differently, and the way they react, and it's really an amazing feeling to work in front of a Japanese crowd. I'm taking nothing away from the American fans. It's just they are so respectful of everything.
But you said some of the American fans are spoiled. What exactly were you meaning by that?
I just think that they may have, like, seen it all, and they the internet, and they're very, you know, smart to the business. They all think that they're smart to the business, and I think that help or hurts, you know, their viewing and just letting themselves being entertained.
I see more or less they're looking at it more or less to be someone who's critiquing it rather than just sitting down, keeping their mouth shut, and enjoying it to a certain extent.
Exactly, and everybody's entitled to their opinion. I have no problem with that, but I think that some people are jaded to the point where they won't let them be entertained anymore by wrestling. And I think that's kind of sad in America.
Do you feel that, do you feel that perhaps that there's a reason why that is? Granted, they've seen a lot of stuff, but with a lot of the stuff that's went on in WWE and WCW in a lot of years, it's hard as much to go out there and really get into it and everything. I find myself watching more older style wrestling for the interviews and the combat and stuff, because everyone who knows me knows I'm not really as much of a new wrestling fan as other mm-hmm. people are. As much of a, not that I don't accept Dragon Gate, I do watch it. I have seen quite a bit of Dragon Gate. I have seen quite a bit mm-hmm. of ROH. After all, I am a tape trader, and of course I'm going to see it. But at mm-hmm. the same time, you know, it just seems a lot of fans really seem to enjoy and go more for a lot of the stuff from yesterday. You know, any comments? And when you're looking at it, go ahead.
I completely agree. I still watch all the old stuff too, and that stuff was great. And I think that you can't take any wrestling, because I think that's very important to still go back to that. But I think wrestling's kind of grown to a different, it's a different style now, and I don't know if people don't accept it or that, you know, WWE and WCW in its time kind of opened up so much that the fans are now, like I said, spoiled in a way, or I don't know. Even me as a fan, it's hard to watch sometimes, and I go back to the old stuff. But, I mean, I just watched Raw yesterday, and I was thoroughly entertained for 2 hours, so I guess I could just say that.
Well, I actually enjoyed some Raw last night. whenever we weren't doing the show and all. But the one thing that I think that I'm interested in somewhat is seeing. I think they did a great job so far with Cole and Lawler. I'm interested in that. It's interesting seeing that. Seeing The Rock back. There's a few other things. I think Cole's doing a fantastic job being a fantastic heel and all, and he is.
I think
he's making the old school manager soon to come back and be.
I think he's one of the best heels going right now, and I hope that he kind of leads to the old school heel male manager coming back, because I think that's a very important aspect of the business that's missing, and you know you don't really get that in the WWE scene anymore, but I hope that he kind of leads that direction. I think he's doing great. And like you said, all the build to all the matches, I mean, I think have been great. I'm looking forward to WrestleMania. And like with that, I'm just hoping that the people also give, you know, the independents a chance too, because it's a different product most of the time. So, I mean, I think everybody's offering something different.
Indeed. Quick question. I asked you about WWE earlier. Has there been any feedback? How much interest from TNA? Has there been any interest with them or anything?
I've actually never heard from TNA. My buddy was just down there doing a tryout, Bobby Shields, and really put over the experience great. So I'm gonna maybe look into sending something down and try to get something going, but I haven't talked to them in all my time, so nothing yet.
Well, I can't watch that crap on TV, and I'm supposed to be non-biased, but I'm not. I honestly can't. And I think they're idiots. Fired people like Mantell and Cornette, and that's just the way. I hope you can get on there. I hope you make lots of money, and I hope it lasts as long as until Dixie's daddy pulls the money out for sure.
Right.
Well, let me see here. I wanted to ask you one question. Mike Supervini has sent us some questions as well. We'll talk about theme music here. Is Johnny Cash's God's Gonna Cut You Down the greatest theme song ever, or just among the top three themes of all time?
I'm gonna go with the greatest ever. When the opening beats hit and I'm behind that curtain, literally it transforms me into a different being, and I in my head I'm singing along. Literally, as I'm walking to the ring, it's talking to me, and I love it, and I couldn't have picked a better song, and I think it just fits me perfectly too. So I think I'm gonna go with this, the top one of all time.
Fantastic.
I gotta say that is one of my favorite. Between that, Boy Named Sue, that's some of my favorite Johnny Cash music out there.
We're talking about theme music. Song Boy Named Sue.
Well, it's Johnny Cash.
It is Johnny Cash.
Yes, gotta have Johnny Cash. Man.
I kind of like Mark Henry. Somebody gonna get the ass whooped.
I actually like that one too, because you know when he comes to the ring, he's gonna drop somebody on their head. So, it's the truth.
My friend who was a police officer he called me up one night. I don't know what he was mad about something at the station. Tonight I'm going to whoop somebody's ass. That should be a theme song if it's not already. Anyways. Oh, what else here? I'm from Mike Supervivi, Aki Bono, not exactly the king of lateral movement, uber athleticism. So how has it worked with a very unique opponent like that?
It was, unique is a very good way of putting it. It was very difficult. He is a large, large, large man, and he was hard to move. And I don't know if he was too interested in moving that much either.
When you say unique, it's like I'm not burying anybody, so no, I'm kidding. definitely unique here.
I'd like to put Aki Bono over for a minute. He's a great man, and, I mean, we became friends, I believe, after it. And I really hope I get to run into him again in my time. So I know he's still working for All Japan and all that, and I just hope that at some point we get to mix it up again.
If you run into him, will he sell it? No, I'm kidding.
I don't know.
We hope. Let's see here. Being that Danger's sitting around here, and he's watching the Braves every 5 minutes, whatever, whenever I turn my head. And now he's been watching the Braves long before I came here to do the show. Are you a Sabres fan since you're from Rochester?
Oh, I'm kind of offended by that question because as we speak, I'm watching my team, the Maple Leafs, beat the Sabres 4-3 right now at the end of the second period. So I'm a Toronto Maple Leaf fan, actually.
Remember that was Mike
Sabres. Send
your hate mail to Mike Sempervive. Absolutely. Toronto Maple Leafs, huh?
I don't know how anybody could like the Buffalo Sabres.
Really? So they met a Super BB, tell him that he turned his heel right in the middle of the interview. Let's see here. Super BB also saw you rocking a Chris Cooley Redskins shirt on Twitter. Is it because you're a Skins fan or because you think his wife, Christy Cooley, is incredibly hot? Who sent us to you now?
I'm going to go over yes to both questions. I'm a Redskins fan, and his wife is hot. And actually, I put the picture on Twitter from Japan. It was actually me hitting my head on the ceiling, which happened every day. And he actually retweeted it, which was really cool.
Wow. That is pretty cool there.
Yeah, because speaking of how tall you are, and like I said earlier, I was looking, if people are not familiar, there's something that they need to look up, which when I saw this, I was like, wow. I got to ask you this. How can a person 6 foot 8, 285 pounds, do a hurricanrana? It's just, I mean, I saw that, and I was like, it was totally crazy. Everybody in the ring was just, like, looking, and the crowds just went nuts.
It was actually, I did it the first time in Chicago because I was in the middle of a feud with Hollowick, and it's one of his signature moves, and I couldn't think of a better way to slap in the face than to show him that I could also do it. And since then, I've only done it a couple times, but every time it gets a big reaction, I try to save it for the big shows, and you actually might see it this weekend.
Wow.
Now, did anybody in particular teach you how to do the hurricanrana, do the setup and everything?
No, like I said, I was just watching, or in the middle of a feud with Hollowick, and watched him do it, and just figured that I was athletic enough to jump that high, and, you know, you put a little trust in the other guy, and then you just go.
Well, that kind of brings up memories of us. We were at Center Stage Theater many years ago in a different generation when it was actually, when we actually loved going to the CWCW TV tapings.
Mm-hmm.
And we're up there, and I was somewhat bored. Well, I was trying to finish an article I'd read earlier in the paper between the intermission. And Van Vader is actually wrestling out there. And Danger's like, brother, Van Vader, he's going to the second rope. I'm like, oh. And I'm like, oh, and I put my paper down, like, okay. And then I'm watching it. And then the fan's like, yeah! And then he goes to the first row. Then he went to the second row, yeah! And then he went to the third row, yeah! And then he flipped off into the moonsault. Everybody's like, ooh, bam, yeah! It's like,
yep.
Well, wow.
Well, first when he landed, it echoed through the whole building. It shook. People got quiet. Then there was like, it was an amazement.
Like, ooh, and everything.
That's very impressive for a man that size. I would be scared to be underneath that.
Oh, boy. Tell me what. I tell you right now, you talk about that, talk about a 6'8" man doing the hurricanrana. Imagine them doing the butcher doing the moonsault. Remember the headhunters A and B?
Oh.
When I saw them, I'm like, my God, doing backflips and stuff. Wow. You know?
Right. Watching the headhunters, I always was afraid that they were going to land on their heads, and they never did.
Thankfully. That would be rough and everything. Semper Vivi also asked, and I don't get it, but maybe you will. Do Cheech and Clay live up to their names?
Yes, they do.
I'll put that as a yes here.
They like to partake in smoking. Their tag name was Up in Smoke.
Yes. I'm familiar with that and everything. They get along well for our guest from another week, the Iron Sheik. I don't know why, but we'll figure that out later, too. Let's see. You did some ROH. What was that like?
Love my time in ROH. Actually, it was Gabe Sapolsky who first booked me in ROH, and the night he got let go, which was kind of a surreal experience, and the next, I think, 6 to 8 months were up and down and hit and miss for me, but I was there for their beginning of their TV show, and that was a very good experience, and I got to work with Knuckle Butcher, which was an invaluable experience, and I actually learned so much, so I'm thankful for my time there, and it was great.
Did you work with Jim Cornette any?
No, he came in right after I was let go. We just missed each other, and I actually wish.
I was going to say, another question, Mike, was in another era, could you see your team with Necro Butcher being something along the lines of a Terry Gordy, Steve Williams, Stan Hansen, Ted DiBiase, Road Warriors, or Brody Hanson, that team?
I actually wish that more people would put me and Necro together, because I think we had great chemistry and really put on some great matches. And when our music hit, you knew we were going to come to the ring and kick somebody's ass. And I just wish more people would put that together.
It's really different, because a lot of people aren't used to seeing that. I know when I used to watch the Road Warriors, when they would barnstorm and run towards the ring, you knew that poor Mike Jackson, George Saff are going to have a rough day tonight. But at least it was different. Nowadays, you just see every match is formulaic. Everything is laid out so much, you know. You're going to have, you know, nobody's going to be barnstorming doing that. That would be kind of cool to see that kind of smash.
I feel like wrestling has become a lot of, canned up pretty boys, and me and Necro are kind of the antithesis of that, and really enjoyed beating those kind of guys up, so I really enjoyed it.
Well, me and Danger complain all the time that, you know, nowadays it's easy to confuse certain people. I mean, if you put certain guys, you know, from WWE, you know, in a lineup that had people who weren't familiar with them, people who may be casual watchers, to try and identify them, they may have a trouble identifying a Dolph Ziggler with a Jack Swagger or something. But nobody had a problem.
I think wrestling needs more characters.
Yeah, I was going to say, no one had a problem identifying an Abdul the Butcher or a Dusty Rhodes or an Ox Baker or, everybody had their, or Jimmy Boogie Woogie Man Valiant. Everybody had their own shtick and it worked. And everybody was in the flair. You had to have different things. And it was like, wow, look at all these guys. I got to come see some of this and everything. Like you said, a little bit for everybody. Worked out fairly well.
And I think that's kind of an issue with the industry as it is right now. And I hope that they kind of go back to that a little bit more. And, just bring in different characters like me and Necro and stuff like that. And not only for my own sake, but just for the wrestling's sake. Because like you said, people identify with that.
Right, because it was one thing with, like, you and Necro, both you got the jeans and you got the, the white beater tank tops. And to me, I mean, it's perfect. You don't have the gear. You just run in. You're just there to fight. You don't care who it is. And that's one thing that both TNA and WWE are seeing to miss it are those roughneck types that we don't have to have the fancy stuff. We're here to fight. And
right.
Collect our money. We don't care.
When I go to the ring, I'm not there to, you know, put an armbar on or a big leg lock. I'm looking to punch someone in the face, kick someone in the face, and try to pin them. Either that or, you know, throw them on out to the outside and throw them around out there. So, I mean, like you said, I think that's missing, and I believe that me and Necro brought that, and I feel like I'm bringing that to the Dragon Gate USA right now.
You've teamed with lots of roughnecks or rednecks in your life. You've teamed to wrestle with the Briscoes, Trevor Murdoch, Necro Butcher, Grizzly Redwood, John Moxley.
Yep.
Who's been your favorite teammate? Who's been your favorite opponent?
Necro Butcher and Grizzly Redwood are probably near the top for teammates. And as for an opponent, probably Cheech or Claudio Castagnoli?
Claudio Castagnoli, huh?
Oh, he's a great talent.
Because I believe Claudio was supposed to be in TNA, or he was signed for TNA, and they just really haven't used him. Or they've used him a couple of times, and unfortunately, he's one of the better people who could do stuff on TV, and they just basically hide him away.
Claudio Castagnoli doesn't make a great, you know, doesn't have a contract somewhere and makes tons of money is beyond me. I really don't understand that.
Me too. Let me ask a little about your days of Age of the Fall. I was going to ask about how that game was introduced and received, both pro and con, by the ROH fan base, and how Jimmy Jacobs took the reactions he would get, pro and con, as the lightning rod of this angle.
Jimmy's the one that brought me into the company during his feud with Austin Aries, and to this day, I don't know if Jimmy holds it against me that I wasn't successful enough for him, or if Jimmy's always just been really weird to me ever since then. So I don't know if it's something I did or what, but I mean, if he's got a problem, that's fine. I mean, but that's how I was brought into ROH, and I helped him with Austin Aries and then Delirious. So I thought we made a pretty good team.
Would you be interested in going back down the line to ROH?
If the opportunity arises, sure. But at this point in time, I have a contract with Dragon Gate USA, so that's where my loyalty lies. I mean, they gave me the chance after I was out of Ring of Honor. Dragon Gate USA has given me the chance and let me shine, and that's where my loyalty lies.
Just if I may ask, pros and cons of Dragon Gate USA versus ROH? Being that Dragon Gate, I know they're still a given opportunity now. What kind of, how would you compare and contrast them?
Like I said, I was given more of an opportunity in Dragon Gate, and I believe it's given more young guys an opportunity, like Johnny Gargano and Rich Swann and Ricochet, who pretty much lives in Japan now and makes a great living. And I just think that is a really key aspect to what Dragon Gate's going to become. We're going to lay the foundation with these young guys and then build up from there with the Japanese talent involved. So I think that's just one thing that I never was given in Ring of Honor was a pure chance to go out there and just shine. I was always in an angle with something and something with Jimmy or this and that. And so, like I said, Dragon Gate has given me the chance, I feel, and they give me the ball to run with, and I can't thank them enough for that. And I just I'm going to continue to grab that ball and keep running with it.
Sure. Well, you had a lot of stuff going on whenever you came into ROH, because you had a whirlwind of stuff, you know, behind the scene. Sapolsky leaving, Nigel and Brian leaving. What did you think of the fan base just when you came in? And what about all these changes that were going on around you and everything? Was it something that was exciting, or were you kind of concerned about, you know, your future, or what was it like at that point? And also, what did you like the most about working with ROH, and what would you change or tweak?
I always appreciate the fans, so, and the fan base of Ring of Honor is a great fan base, so I'm not going to take anything away from them. I mean, I really appreciate everybody that comes to the building and pays their money to watch me. That's why I do what I do. And with all the changes, I was so new there that I was just kind of thrown for a loop because I didn't know what was going to happen next, where I was going, none of that. And that's to nobody's fault. And like I said, I also didn't perform to the best of my abilities, and it just didn't work out. And, I mean, it was kind of a nerve-wracking time for me because I didn't know what was going on exactly. But like I said, when I was there, I got to work with Necro Butcher and Jimmy and Austin Aries and literally just learned so much in my time there.
Understood. Thoughts of Dragon Gate USA's plan to air many of their events on the new iPay-per-view system, and how do you see the incredible shift in technology affecting how we see wrestling, and how it changed wrestling as we know it today?
Well, I think that iPay-per-view is the future of independent wrestling. It's a great way to get your product out there, and it's inexpensive for the people at home. And, you know, I mean, if it, like an event is in Atlanta or North Carolina this weekend, somebody up where I live can just get on their computer and order it, which 2 years ago couldn't have been done. They would have to fly to Atlanta and watch a show, which is very unlikely. So I believe that iPay-per-view is the future. And for Dragon Gate USA to bring that in-house is the first time anybody's ever done that, and I think that can only help them grow and become a better promotion.
With everything that is happening in Atlanta, because I know you got the Dragon Gate USA, you got the Ring of Honor, you're going to have fan access, you got WrestleMania 6. There's going to be so much stuff that's going to be happening down here. And there's so many, like, sites, especially, like you said, you've never been here in Georgia. Are you planning to come in early and taking any of the sites, or is there anything you're looking forward to in Georgia?
I've never actually been, I've never been booked on a show WrestleMania weekend. So this is my first time ever being around a WrestleMania. So literally I'm going to wake up Saturday morning and just kind of try to take it all in before the show Saturday night and just really just enjoy my time there and see as much as I can in the time that I have. I'll be in North Carolina Friday and probably won't get to Atlanta until Saturday morning, but like I said, it's my first time during a WrestleMania weekend, and like, this is the pinnacle of everything, and there's just so many wrestlers in the area and so many things to see. So I really can't say anything specific, but I'm just going to try to see as much as I can and try to find somebody that's from around there and just, you know, show me some stuff.
Well, I think there's one place, and I think Dave would agree on this, that you need to go visit and try, is Abdullah the Butcher's House of Ribs for Chinese. Got a good restaurant down here, real cheap, affordable food, and some of the stuff that he has on the walls of the history of pictures and stuff, and I think that's one of the good sites to see if you're down here, or if any of the fans listening. I'm coming down many a weekend. I think it's one of the places to come. And
the one drawback is out of the way of downtown. It may not be the most convenient place to get to. And to be honest, who knows how many people are going to be there. It could be overloaded. But
I was going to say, with him going into the Hall of Fame, I assume that that place is going to be swamped, which is good for him. And I mean, but I've heard nothing but good things about that place.
It's a great place. If you're down by the airport some other time or something, it might be a good time to check it out. But for sure, there's plenty of stuff to do in Atlanta and all, and I tell you, hopefully you'll have some fun, too, for sure. Let's see here. You had a no-DQ match against the Dusty Taker for NWA New York. Was that opponent as hilarious as I'm envisioning him being? From Mike Sabrina.
Yes, it was. He is a local man who's done a lot for the local scene and might not have the best ability of anybody out there, but literally gave his heart and soul to the wrestling business in Rochester, and it was kind of my way to pay him back. And he kind of hasn't been around that much since then, and there's a noticeable void. And so it was hilarious, but it was also my way of saying thank you to the guy for doing so much for the local scene.
Sure, understand that right there. And very impressive. What's your one loss record? What's this? I'm reading something here about you've only lost one match, a non-title against Yamato. Is that correct?
Yes. In Dragon USA so far, I've only been pinned once. And actually, when I was in Japan, I was only pinned once also by Masaki Mochizuki, who actually has a Dragon Gate Championship match coming up next month. But, yeah, I've only been pinned once here and once in Japan, so I think I have the best record.
Any comments or thoughts about Yamato, the Freedom Gate champion?
I think he's a phenomenal talent, and I think he really deserves that belt. And I hope that we get to wrestle again and actually, you know, get to put a little time in, and, like, actually go out there and do what we do. I wrestled him a few times in Japan, and I think we click great, have great chemistry, and he hits hard, and, you know, he's just a great champion, I think. And I'm looking forward to getting another shot at the title. And like I said, actually my first shot, because that was a non-title. And if I keep winning, I don't think they can deny that.
No, I would hope not and everything. Definitely, I would hope not. What was it like whenever you were working in a ball and everything? Any thoughts on that?
In where?
In Evolve. E-V-O-L-V.
Oh. I really liked Evolve. I had a few good matches. I had one in particular that I absolutely loved, and that was with John Moxley in New Jersey. I believe it was Evolve 3 or 4, but that was totally my style of match. We went out there and we just fought. We went everywhere in the building and literally just, you know, threw fists at each other for 7 minutes, and I love it. So that's my favorite memory of Evolve right now.
So you talk about going to Japan some. One other thing I was going to say, you talk about going to Japan some. What's it like communicating and working with a lot of the Japanese guys?
It is not easy. There's a lot of, you know, you just go out there and do it. And like I said, it's not easy to talk to people. And the Japanese language is probably maybe the hardest in the world. So I picked up very little when I was there, and I would love to go back and learn more. Like I said, I believe Ricochet is pretty much living there now and doing everything he can with the opportunity. And I mean, I appreciate the opportunity that they gave me, but communication is not easy.
What did the Japanese people take you as being like a giant like that? Because I know some of the Japanese wrestlers are like the size of the Dragon Gate and Dragon Gate USA wrestlers, a little smaller in stature. What were their first impressions of seeing this giant walking to the ring?
I was in awe. Like, I don't think they had seen anything like that in a long time, and I think that only came to advantage. I literally think I'm a foot or two taller than anybody on the Dragon Gate roster, so that visual really helped a lot, too, and then when I proved that I could go in the ring, I think that they accepted me, but were still kind of scared of me, which was good.
Any thoughts or comparisons to Bruiser Brody in any of your matches or anything like that?
I actually get it a lot, and I mean, I don't want to mean any disrespect to him because he was one of the greats of all time, and I love all his work. I have a lot of his work, and to be compared to him is an honor and a privilege, and I really appreciate it. So anything like that is really just very nice to hear.
Understand. Let's see here, a couple of things here. As far as stars in Dragon Gate, USA, a lot of people are CUSC under contract and everything, but who should people be watching out for in the next few years? What anybody who you really think is going to not only maybe transform not only up from Dragon Gate to become a hit on the national scene, not trying to get you in the doghouse of any of your fellow wrestlers or anything, but anybody there that really impresses you and you would not be surprised to see them in a WWE or TNA within the next few years, what have you?
Like I said, Ricochet is a phenomenal talent and already making waves internationally. And as for WWE, I believe that Austin Aries and Jimmy Jacobs really deserve a shot to be there. And I think it's terrible that they haven't been given that opportunity yet. And upcoming, I believe, like Chuck Taylor, the Ronin Group, Chuck Taylor, Johnny Gargano, and Rich Swann, who are all incredibly young and talented, are the ones that are going to be making waves for the next few years for Dragon Gate USA.
Really? Any stars, any up-and-coming stars that may have just came in or been in recently who may really wind up being, you know, making a big mark or becoming big names here in Dragon Gate USA shortly?
I believe that Sami Callihan's run has just started with the company, and he's got a lot of potential to be tapped. So, I mean, I just watched him and Loki have essentially a fist fight last Saturday at Jersey All Pro. So, I think Sammy's going to make some noise.
Impressive, impressive. Let's see, where do you see yourself maybe in the next couple of years?
Like I said, the ultimate goal is to make a complete living off this and WWE or even TNA or whatever the next level is, or go to Japan nearly full time. So that's honestly where I'm going to be within the next year. So we'll see. Like I said, never say never.
For being a big guy and stuff in the ring, since some of the moves, like I said, the Hirokarata was like very impressive. I've never seen you like with a big boot to the face is pretty impressive and puts down your opponents. Is there any other moves that being like a bigger guy in the ring, do you like doing to your opponents?
I'm rarely up top, but I like to hit a splash every so often.
Hello? 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 Hello?
Hello?
Uh-oh. Oh, there you are. Okay, I thought we lost you for a minute there. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say that the Hurricane Rana and the Big Boot is my bread and butter, so... And that's what I've made a lot of... made a lot of money on the Big Boot, and I continue to keep doing that.
Good deal, good deal. Let's remind the fans where they can order this pay-per-view here. WWNLive.com. WWNLive.com. You're going to see Dragon Gate. They're going to be there. Mercury Rise is going to be available. I think they may have a special or something coming up. Go to WWNLive.com for all the details. Some great upcoming events for sure. You do not want to miss that at all. Also want to remind everybody to visit the Dragon Gate website. Let me get that, pull that up here. That's Dragon Gate.
DGUSA.TV.
DGUSA and everything. I want to make sure I didn't miss that. DGUSA.TV. That's what always throws me off. DJUSA.TV, and if you go there, they have some information on there. They also talk about the pay-per-view coming up, WWN Live. Talk about they have exclusive pay-per-views and shows in North Carolina, shows Saturday and Sunday in the ATL. Let's see here. Going to have some great stuff. Talk a little bit about the fans, the roster. Great website, got some good stuff. We still have tickets available, or have you heard anything about that?
I think there are, but I don't really, hear much about that. I just go out there and do what I do.
Well, I think they're sold out. I didn't think there was any left. You might have to go to the website and email them, but you're probably going to have to get this on pay-per-view at WWNLive.com, if I have to guess. And there's going to be some great stuff on there. Again, April 2nd, Yamato versus Aries. Going to be some great stuff, no doubt about it. Yoshino and Pac against Seema and Ricochet. If you haven't seen some of the Dragon Gate wrestling, I really encourage you to do it, especially, I would say, if you're a fan of Rey Mysterio. A lot of stuff that I've seen is a lot of amazing flying, a lot of amazing other kind of wrestling. And it's really, like you said, it's a little bit of everything, and I think that if someone's looking to try it out, it might work out. Also, April 1st, Brown, North Carolina, Chuck Taylor and Akira Tozawa against Pac, and, doggone, that slipped by me there. But it's good. Like I said, we're going to have some great events coming up. It's going to be awesome. I'll run down the card for Dragon Gate here in Atlanta on April 2nd. Blood Warrior, Seema, Nuki Doi, Ricochet against Chuck Taylor, Johnny Gargano, and Rich Swann back against Akira Tozawa. That was the Brave Gate title match. Non-title special attraction, Masato Yoshino against Sami Callihan, Elimination. Jimmy Jacobs versus our guest, Brody Lee, versus Stalker Ichikawa, versus Silas Young versus A.R. Fox versus John Davis.
Special challenge match, John Moxley with Trina Miles against Eric Cannon, plus Playboy model Rebe Scott. Also, Rampage for us to bring the bonus card, which will have J-Rod versus Bubba Cannon, the usual suspects, the Murder One AJ Steele, The Finn versus Hot Light Lava, Crew Johnson, Sean Banks, Jimmy Rave against Kyle Matthews, which should be a fantastic match, and also Sour Gnarl against Sugar Duckington, which also I expect to be a very, very good match. A lot of guys in Georgia are going to be there, really hyped, really pumped, trying to make their way in. Hopefully, we'll see some of them get some jobs with Dragon Gate USA in the future. For Sunday, April 3rd, Open the Ultimate Gate 2011, April 3rd, 12 p.m. Bell Time, Presidential Ballroom. Open the United Gate title match, Masa Yoshino and Pac defend against Seema and Ricochet. Non-title grudge, Yamato against Akira Tozawa, special request. Aries versus Jimmy Jacobs. Aries extended if he wins, open the Freedom Gate title on April 2nd. He will defend against Jacobs. If he loses on April 2nd, this will be his farewell Dragon Gate USA match. Blood Warriors versus Ronin Challenge match 1. Daruka Doi against Johnny Gargano. Blood Warriors against Ronin Challenge match 2. Brody Lee versus Chuck Taylor, six-way freestyle. AR Fox, Eric Cannon, Jimmy Rave, Lindsay Dorado, Rich Swann, Sammy Callahan, plus Stalker Chihuahua, Ichikawa, John Meissner, Trina Michaels, Remy Scott, and more. And that's going to be on Sunday. Just quick, give me some background about the Blood Warriors and Ronin. A lot of people might not be familiar with that.
Basically, what happened is me and Ricochet were brought over to Japan and brought into the Blood Warriors group to help them in Japan. And Gargano, Swan, and Chuck Taylor kind of took offense to that because the Blood Warriors did not pick them. So they kind of made some noise, and then that kind of offended the Japanese group. So we're kind of taking it up with them now.
Well, I'll tell you right now, that's going to be a heck of a battle right there. That's definitely something. You got some great talent involved. You got some great wrestlers involved. And like I said, while I may not follow a lot of the, I guess, Dragon Gate as much as, I really follow the main promotions either. A lot of what I follow is from yesteryear. But I will say one thing, it's damned athletic. It's fantastic. And it is really good stuff. I do watch when I can. And I'll tell you, I may see about trying to get out there and see some of these events right here. You really sold me on it. And I hope other fans, if there's tickets, if not, I may be sitting at home watching it on the pay-per-view. And
I believe if you come live and if you get it on the iPay-per-view, you're going to be entertained no matter what. So, I mean, please give us a shot and let us win you over.
Danger said there may be some tickets available. So, again,
He
went to the website, found their tickets. So, If you want some tickets, get some. As a matter of fact, I may try to get some tickets in a few minutes. I was impressed with the Wrestler Union folks, and I'm really impressed with you. I thank you so much for coming on the show. I've really enjoyed it and everything.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
My pleasure and everything. I definitely may have you back down the line when you win your title and everything. Any other things you'd like to say?
Absolutely. I'll just plug Twitter. You can follow me at BrodyLee93, and you can find me on Facebook under Brody Lee. And I just encourage the fans to, come out and say hi to me and follow me on Twitter and add me on Facebook. And just come on out to the Dragon Gate events, and like I said, let's give us a chance and let us entertain you.
Danger City added you. You never add him back. Hello? I was saying my co-host Mark Danger said he added you. You didn't add him back.
Oh, well, I apologize for that.
Don't worry.
I get a bunch of crap.
I wouldn't add him either.
Well, in that case, I'm not sorry.
He looks like a spammer. No, I'm kidding. Nah, Danger's a good guy. Danger's a real big Dragon Gate fan and a real big Chikara fan. The danger.
It's more because watching the Dragon Gate and you in the Ring of Honor. To me, it's like more of the something fans may not or maybe have access to or know how to look up is the Japanese style wrestling. And to that, it's just watching that, and it's more of that style there. It's more high impact, very athletic, fast moving, and to me, it's some better wrestling on today.
With the iPay-per-view coming up, that gives people more of an opportunity to see it.
Yeah, definitely. Just wondering, you're a fan of Chikara and Dangerous fan of Chikara. I'm sorry, for some reason, I just haven't been able to get Chikara. Explain to me where I'm missing something here. I feel I'm missing something. Danger hasn't been able to explain it to me properly. Brody, help me get Chikara.
You really explain Chikara. I mean, you got fire ants, you got ice cream, I mean, you got Cheech Cloud. I mean, you got different cast of characters there, which are fun to watch.
I encourage you to go back and look up from 2008. If you watch some of those cards, you'll really get into some of the newer stuff as well.
I'm sorry, you're breaking up there. You said you recommended what?
I was going to say, go back and look at some of my and Claudio's feud from 2008 and just check out some of those cards from that year. And then I think that you'll won't help but be entertained a little bit. And then look at some of the new stuff. It's a lot of hungry kids and looking to make a name for themselves and looking to bust out in the business.
Yeah, because one match, when I was looking at some of your matches, and it came up on there, and I was interested in it because it was only a 3-minute clip, but it said the longest wrestling match in history. And it started off as two guys, I can't remember who they were offhand, but started off, they went outside the arena, and the referee was with them, and they disappeared. So the promoter came out, and the referee says, hey, we can't wait for them. Let's keep the show going. Finish the show. The next night, you're about to have we're about to have the first match, and lo and behold, here they come through the door, still wrestling, and coming in there, and it's just they're finishing the match, and with Chikara, some of the stuff you may not understand, but to me, it's pure comedy gold.
Right, and the other thing with Chikara is I believe that it's very well booked, and it's very good in the good guy bad guy aspect. And if you do get into it, you'll notice that, and you I just believe it's very well booked and very well laid out by Mike Quackenbush.
Yeah, and also with Mike Quackenbush, from people that we've known to go up there and do stuff with him, that it is very, very fan-oriented. It's not like a WWE style where you have the foul language or, like, sexual innuendos, anything like that. It's strictly something you can't actually bring a kid to and not
Absolutely.
Worry about.
Absolutely. I mean, I've gotten in trouble a few times for opening my mouth and letting out a swear word or two, but you don't get any of that. Like you said, no sexual innuendos. It's very fan-oriented, like you said, and they're always reaching out to the fans, and I encourage you to check out the King of Trios tournament coming up because there's a sick amount of talent on those three shows.
Sure. I understand the talent part. I understand Quack is a fantastic talent. I've admired his work for many years. I've gotten to see him live here in Alabama, of all places.
Yeah, or Jigsaw.
Him and Jigsaw both were down here.
We're sitting there, Sal Renaro, and we're sitting there like, okay, What's he
doing?
It is just...
they're phenomenal talents, no doubt about it, but it's just some little things that I don't know, I just... Some of the stuff's just... I just haven't got my head around it. One of these days, I think I'm going to wake up in the middle of the night about 3 o'clock and go, oh, that's it. I get it now. Well, I'm wanting everybody to explain it, and I just haven't got it yet and everything. I understand the talent, but, you know, as far as the longest match, we're going outside the break.
I will say that it's not for everybody, so, I mean, I understand where you're coming from.
I'm trying to think, you know, I don't know. Maybe I watched a little too much Lance Russell and Dave Brown and everything. Okay,
nothing
Dave,
wrong with
they
that.
Brought it. They're brought back in. I can see that with Lawler and Dundee, kind of, maybe. I don't know. Maybe and everything. Well, As long as they have the podcast to go, I'm sure Danger will be keeping up and trying to convince me.
Hey, I'm a fan of it on Facebook.
I know you're a fan of Chikara on Facebook. I know that. Again, thank you so much, Brody, for coming on the show and everything. This has been great. We really enjoyed having you on there. Anything else that you have it if you haven't covered yet? Do you want to speak on or anything like that? We got a little more time.
No. Pretty much buy tickets to the live events this weekend and order the iPay-per-view. And like I said, if you guys are around, please feel free to say hi to me.
I sure will. I really appreciate you, again, coming on the show and everything. Remember, support Dragon Gate, DGUSA.TV. We appreciate them for providing Roy Lee to us on this show. And always, we thank everyone for their support of GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com. GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com. If you want to go to our website, or anybody out there would, it's www.DaveAndDangerShow.com. I have to update that sometime, probably not tonight, probably tomorrow. But DaveAndDangerShow.com, we have all the interviews and ready to download on there, too. And we have a good time, and we'll have more guests next week. It's going to be a great show.
Next week we got Joyce Grable and
Ben Masters, as a matter of fact, promoting the Friends for a Friend show to benefit Susan Meeks in Douglasville on a week from Saturday. So definitely won't be able to tune in for next week. Again, we want to thank our guests, Brody Lee, for coming on the show. And thank our listeners here. And thank you again there for being on the great Georgia Wrestling History Show, the Dave and Danger Show. And remember, visit us, GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com, DangerShow.com, and Danger. What's on tap tomorrow?
We have this is confusing because we're on Monday and Tuesday almost plugged the Dave and Danger show, but Wednesday you do have the Ringside Wrap with Mike Super Peavy. Les Thatcher
for Peavy.
I like tongue. He's my, you say tomato, I may say tomato.
Not James ass.
But we're going to have Mike Super Peavy, Les Thatcher, and Rich Tate. They're going to be talking about more of the happenings of Mania Weekend, about the Ring of Honor, TNA, and the previous UFC Fight Night they had on Saturday night.
Please make sure to tell Super Vivi that we have heat now, that he considered me a Sabres fan. I'm offended.
We will make sure to start up a lot of controversy about that, and that'll give me an excuse to email him, and very dangerous at the same time. So I'm all for it and everything. So, Mike Super Vivi, you are evil for Brody Lee.
That's right.
You are worse than Michael Jordan, Michael Jackson. You are worse than Hulk Hogan. Anyways, thank you, Brody. Thank
exactly.
you, Danger. We'll be back next
thank
week
you.
With more exciting action here on the David Danger Show. So long, everybody.
We thank you for listening to this broadcast, a production brought to you by GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com and the GWH Radio Network. Stay tuned to GWH for nostalgia, upcoming events, the latest news on pro wrestling and MMA, and more. GWH thanks you for your support.